This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Mikey on Joy.
With a brand new cover of the Star Observer, it must be time for our favourite editor-in-chief, Mr. Matthew Wade. Well, listen, we have to start with the cover.
Yes.
And we've got the gorgeous Courtney act.
Yes, so all the readers are probably familiar with Courtney. Obviously, she's a drag icon in Australia. I mean, she first entered reality TV, I think, back in the early 2000s in Australian Idol.
Australian Idol, I think. She did a placing, didn't she?
I think she's in the top 10 or top 5. Yeah, definitely. And since then, she's gone on to compete and become a finalist for RuPaul's Drag Race. She won Celebrity Big Brother. She hosted a bisexual reality show called The Bi Life.
We tried to watch it.
It
was okay, but it got a bit hard at the end.
I stuck it out for a few episodes. Look, not to shade the show, but it was very melodramatic and very obviously scripted. But it was fun.
There's some hotties on there too. Let me tell you.
But now she's competing on Dancing with the Stars for anyone that isn't watching, and she's one of the front runners. Like, I think they're only down to a few contestants now. Maybe a small
she's
handful.
She's definitely going to win.
She's got to
win. But I'm more impressed to see where she's giving her prize money, which is to Black Rainbow, which is an Indigenous LGBTIQ group that's out there. And I follow them on Facebook. I think it's a very important, especially for our community, and they are one part of our community that seems to suffer a lot more than the rest of us.
And it was really incredible because during our interview, she was basically saying, and I think this is a nice analogy to make, she was saying how for LGBTI people, just generally, allies are really important. Like, when we're pushing for marriage equality or other kind of rights, having people that are straight and cisgender rally behind us and help us out makes a massive difference. But she was saying for queer Indigenous people, they need allies within the LGBTI community as well to help push their issues forward. So I think there are a lot of people that aren't Indigenous in the queer community who don't really necessarily pay any mind to the plights of people of colour in the queer community or Indigenous people. So I guess her being on this mainstream television show, this massive platform, and potentially winning, which would, I think, give her $50,000 for the charity, is a massive deal because it shows not only just queer people but the whole of Australia that Indigenous, LGBTI, mental health is a really important issue.
Important. Look, I love Dancing with the Stars and I have been a sucker since season one.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've never voted.
Ah.
And this is the first time I've actually voted.
For Courtney?
For Courtney.
Oh, good.
Only because I like where the money's going. And it's the one time it made me think, look, it's not like you need my vote, sweetheart. You're killing it. But I thought we better talk about it.
Well, if she does win, she was saying basically that the money that she'll give to Black Rainbow will help to fund a Curtin University study, the first of its kind, where they'll basically, like, obviously we have statistics around homelessness, mental health, things like this in the LGBTI community, but not in relation to Indigenous LGBTI people.
Yeah.
So the money will help fund to fill those gaps and close those statistical gaps.
Hey, I want to talk about polyamory.
Oh, yeah. So basically with this issue with Courtney on the cover, we tried to cover a few different kind of topics around the idea of family. And family doesn't necessarily have to mean like biological, it can mean anything, relationships as well. So we wrote something about polyamory and how, I guess, in the queer community, more people are embracing that idea, not just necessarily open relationships, but the idea of having multiple relationships rather than just one. So, we interviewed a handful of people that are currently in queer poly relationships, including people that, you know, bisexual people that have relationships with different people, people of different genders, and
So basically, it's about somebody being in a committed relationship, but maybe more than two people.
Yeah, with more than one person, even it can be. I guess it's a way, one of the people that we interviewed was saying how he initially was in a heterosexual relationship with a woman, and then ultimately he came out to her as bisexual, and so they explored, rather than an open relationship, they actually explored the idea of being in a poly relationship, so she can be in a relationship with him and other people if she wants at the same time, and he could also explore the bisexual side of him.
Right. I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
But I have enough trouble listening to my husband, and that's only one. I don't need two to have to tell me what to do and tell me that I haven't picked up my underwear off the floor and didn't do the dishes or bring the... Yeah. Can you imagine having two?
Oh, I just wonder, I think it'd be tiring, yeah, big time. Like, that's a lot of emotional... Like, I imagine when I had a partner and she was sad, I'd feel sad. You know, I'd feel that for her as well, that empathise. Imagine having two of that.
Sweetie, that's why we drink, so you don't have to worry about other people's emotions. Oh, you're not feeling well, let me have another martini.
Well, that sounds so healthy, Tom. Okay.
But I think it's definitely true that it would be very difficult emotionally, like, to get into that and kind of work it out in a way that suits you and all the parties that are involved. But I guess the people that we spoke to were saying that when they got to the place where everyone was in this kind of consensual mutual understanding of how the relationships worked, they managed to actually have more intimate relationships with each other, I guess, because there wasn't that... I don't want to say the word possessiveness, but you know that kind of idea that, like, it's just you and me and that's it. Like, they kind of were able to be, like, more open to things.
Yeah, we want to go into it as well. I want to talk about after Christchurch.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, obviously, everyone would be aware that recently there was the Christchurch massacre, which was really horrible. But one of the, I guess, kind of intersections that hasn't really been explored is queer people that are Muslim as well and how it impacted them. So we got a young gay Muslim advocate, Fahad, who has written for us before, and we've interviewed him before as well.
Yeah, he's done a good article before. I've read that before.
Yeah, he was also, I think, maybe it was a year or two ago on an SBS program called Muslims Like Us, where they put, I think, 10 Muslims into us. They're currently doing the Christian
one, which I just watched this week.
Yeah. Right, yeah. He was in the Muslims version. Yeah. But yeah, he's written a piece about, I guess, the impact that the Christchurch massacre had on him, and he's kind of used the piece as a way to, a call to arms, I guess, for the Muslim community and the queer community to kind of come together in mutual solidarity, because there are queer people that are Muslim, there are Muslim people that are queer, and oftentimes the stereotype is that, you know, oh, Muslim people just, all of them hate gay people and vice versa. But I mean, that obviously can't be true, because there are people within the community that are Muslim as well. So yeah, it's a really powerful piece. I really love it. It's probably my favorite piece in the magazine. I think it's really powerful and important. And covers something that isn't really covered very much elsewhere otherwise. So, yeah.
Well, it is a very big month again with the Star Observer. So you're doing a very good job. So there's plenty in there. We've got things about gay men and misogyny, as well as Dolly Diamond and he taking over as CEO of Guide Dogs. So have a read of that. That was really cute.
No, that was good. They're raising money at Guide Dogs Victoria, and they're trying to encourage people to also raise puppies that will ultimately become guide dogs. So Dolly's been one of the ambassadors.
I so badly wanted to do that. Yeah. There's no way I'm giving one back. I am a possessive little... I was going to say wanker, but well, I mean, I'm a possessive one. If I get hold of it, I ain't letting go.
Yeah. It would be tough. Yeah, no, I get that.
And they're so cute, those puppies. Yeah, big time.
Well, Matthew, what a joy. The magazine looks fantastic. Courtney on the front is looking gorgeous. It's time to wish that bitch would get a zit. I mean, she's just looking too perfect. Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in, mate. Always a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you next.
Thank you.
Wake Up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.